Let's see if we're going live. We're live. Look at that. We are live. Look at that. Rabbis, are you ready? You ready out there? Buckle your seatbelts. Thank you to those who are here. Appreciate it. And to those who are out there, if you're on Facebook, please hop on to YouTube. Hi, Jacob. Or Jacobo, I should say. Because if you come to YouTube, then you could be like Jacobo and you could say, hi, Rabbi, Shalom. And then I could see what you're saying. Or Michal David is there. Look at that. He thanks all of you. Michal David thanks everybody who's here in person. All the way from Atlanta. So anyway, if you're on youtube.com/Avi Mendel Kaplan, then you get the privilege of a live chat where you can post your questions. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe. youtube.com/Avi Mendel Kaplan. And all of my classes are available on rabbikaplan.tv. Just saying. Okay, let's get set up here. So we're going to talk about matzah tonight. Matzah time. Now, if you've been coming to the last couple of classes, tonight's classes will be a drop easier to understand, but the truth is, hello Zev, the truth is that even if you haven't attended any classes, I think you'll find the class meaningful. And I'm going to do something maybe a tiny drop unusual. I'm going to introduce this Gemara with some teachings that don't have a direct link or connection to the Gemara at all, at least not on the surface. But it seems to me, I'd like to humbly submit that when you frame it like, you know, properly frame things and you understand where we're coming from, then you'll appreciate, so what was the Gemara asking? What was the Gemara actually looking for? What was the issue? And I think that will help you understand in a better way. So that's the methodology we're going to use. I think that everybody around this table, and probably everybody out there, knows it is a mitzvah to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. Yeah, it's pretty much universal. Not that every Jew in the world eats matzah, but every Jew in the world knows that you're supposed to eat matzah, or that somebody believes you're supposed to eat matzah, and the vast majority of Jews do eat matzah. Maybe not in the right time exactly, maybe not in the right way exactly, but they mean well, and our job simply is to educate everybody so people begin to understand and appreciate why and how it is such an important thing to do. By the way, if we leave this class today with a greater fervor and excitement for achilas matzah, for the eating matzah on the night of Pesach, then I will say this has been a win-win and a day well spent preparing this class. Just say so. You should eat matzah. It's very, very good for you, if you're Jewish. Otherwise, it'll give you indigestion, nothing else. It's going to give you indigestion if you're Jewish also. But it's going to enrich your spirit. So why does God want us to have indigestion? Why does he want us to eat this food which is difficult for us to digest? Why? It's like God wants to torture us or something. So I want to open by sharing with you that the Torah, speaking about matzah, tells us, Ba'erev tochlu matzos. This is a pasuk, this is a verse that is found in the book of Exodus. In the 12th chapter of Exodus, the 18th verse, the Torah tells us that this is what you, the Jewish people, are supposed to be doing. And the words are, Be'erev tochlu matzos. So Be'erev tochlu matzos, the Mechilta, which is the Medrash Halacha that accompanies the first two books of the Torah, the Mechilta says that because it says in the Pasuk, Berishon, the first Rishon refers to the month of Nisan, 14 days into Nisan. And then it says, Ba'erev tochlu matzos. So our sages tell us in the Mechilta with this verse, Hakasuv kavao chova. The verse establishes it as obligatory. This is the Torah's command to eat matzah. That's the command. And the Rambam says this in the beginning of the sixth chapter of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah, but because I quoted the Rambam in a class I gave a couple of days ago, and I didn't quote the Sefer HaChinuch, instead I'm going to quote the Sefer HaChinuch for you. Very, very similar. I don't want to quote things which are exactly the same, so I'm going to quote something very, very similar. The Sefer HaChinuch says like this. He says, and this is mitzvah number 10 in his system. He has his own unique nomenclature, how he classifies the mitzvahs according to the parshas of the Torah. He says, mitzvah achilat matzah, the 10th commandment would be the mitzvah. This is the 10th mitzvah that shows up in the order, it shows up in the Torah, is le'echol lechem matzah, to eat matzah lechem, bread, matzah bread. And to do it beleil chamisha asar b'nisan, on the eve, the night of the 15th, which means 14 days have passed, on the night of the 15th, it has to be made of grain. And this is Exodus 12, 18, because it says, ba'erev tochlu matzot. In the evening you eat matzah. So of course people who are eating matzah during the day, even if it's 7 o'clock in the evening, if it's not dark yet, are unfortunately getting nothing but indigestion. It's sad. Why torture your stomach for no reason? Terrible stuff. All right. So hopefully people eat matzah at night when you're supposed to. And Sefer HaChinuch tells us, Upirshu Leil Chamisha Asar B'Nisan, it's been explained to us. He refers, of course, to the Gemara in Mesechet Psachim and Daf Kuf Chof, the words of Rava. There's a dispute between Rava and Rav Acha and Rav Yaakov. The dispute is, are you obligated to eat matzah only when the Korban Pesach is being brought, which means that the Beit HaMikdash is standing, and then you have a Korban Pesach, and then you have matzah, and then you have Moror? Or are you obligated to eat matzah regardless of whether there is or isn't a Beit HaMikdash? Reb Acha b'Reb Yankiv says, no, no Beit HaMikdash, no Korban Pesach, you got to be kidding. What value is the matzah? The matzah, the Moror, the Korban Pesach, it's all telling the same story. These are all pieces of a puzzle. If the puzzle is broken, you don't have a picture. Yeah, you could have a rabbinic mitzvah, it could be a reminder, it could be a memorial, a commemorative, it's not the mitzvah. But Rava says, no. Even Bizman Azeh Deraisa, it is biblical. And the Rambam, and the laws of Chametz Matzah, right in the beginning of the sixth chapter, he says it's b'chol makom u'b'chol zman, that's the halacha. All the codifiers say this, nobody argues. The Rosh says it very clearly, the Alphas, the Rif says it clearly, everybody states clearly you have an obligation to eat matzah. As the Sefer HaChinuch puts it, and I'm only quoting because this was our Matzah Time series this year, was three classes in a row, two of Haggadah, but I quoted some of the similar sources and some of you were here only a few days ago. So, like I said, I'm quoting a different source for you this time, that it says, Bein bizman sheyihi esham Pesach, o bizman shelo yihi esham. Whether there is a Korban Pesach or there is not a Korban Pesach, I shared with you in a previous class that the Minchas Chinuch says, if you are living in the land of Israel, but you didn't make it to Yerushalayim, you can't eat Korban Pesach over the Zoom. You can't do very much of anything over Zoom, by the way. Not real mitzvahs. That's fake stuff. You can imaginary stuff. You can't really do a mitzvah. So a real mitzvah has got to be something you eat. And something you eat, you got to be there for it. So if you got stuck in Tel Aviv for Pesach, nothing, not that there's anything wrong with Tel Aviv. It's a wonderful place, but not for Pesach. If the Beit HaMikdash is standing. If you got stuck in Tel Aviv and there's a Beit HaMikdash, do you have a Korban Pesach? No, you don't have a Korban Pesach. Well, what are you doing about matzah? Are you skipping the matzah? The answer is, you eat matzah. Why? Because somebody's eating a Korban Pesach. That's good enough. But in today's day and age where there is, hopefully this year there will be, but last year there was no Beit HaMikdash, and there was no Korban Pesach, and we ate matzah. He says, that's because bein bizman sheyia or bizman shelo yia doesn't mean when you have. At the time when there is or the time when there isn't. That's how it is. Matzah is a mitzvah regardless. What's the origin? What's the root of this mitzvah? So he says, you want to know, want to understand more about this mitzvah? You want to know why the Torah is given? Yeah, good, I'm glad you asked. He says, well, if you want to know, go look at what I wrote about the Korban Pesach. That's what the book of Torah education says, Sefer HaChinuch. Okay, so we go back, look at the laws of Korban Pesach. What does he say? Mishor shemitzvah zu, the origin of this mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, is k'dei sheyizkru ha-yehudim la'olam ha-nisim ha-gdolim. So that the Jewish people will remember for posterity, forever, Remember the miracles Shanasa Lahem Hashem Yisbarach B'Tzias B'Tzayim that Almighty God did for us at the time of the Exodus from Egypt. How does eating a Korban Pesach help us remember that we went out of Mitzrayim? Oh, well, you know, we had a Korban Pesach on the night we left Egypt. Big deal. So what? I had a barbecue last week. I mean, how does that make me remember a miracle? The Sefer HaChinuch doesn't really explain this very much. However, many, many contemporary scholars point to the writings of Rambam as well as the writings of Abarbanel to help us to better understand what the Sefer HaChinuch might be speaking about. So I'm just going to share with you something fascinating that the Rambam, Maimonides, writes in the Morah Nevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed, where he explains rhyme, rationale, and reason behind the mitzvot. The Rambam says like this. He says, you have to know that when you eat a Korban Pesach, the Torah tells you how to cook it. Why would the Torah tell me how to cook it? Isn't it enough that the Torah tells you what to eat? You have to tell me how to cook it too? By the way, what does kosher cooking look like? Does the Torah tell you which cooking is kosher and which is not? No, of course not. You cook however you want. Whatever makes you feel good. All year long. Not on the night of Pesach. On the night of Pesach, the Torah not only told us what to eat, the Torah told us how to have it served. We get kitchen instructions. Wow. Why is the Torah telling us how to eat the meat? The Torah tells us it's got to be flame roasted, barbecued. Why? And another thing, Torah tells you how to cook it. Torah tells you how to carve it up. Why does the Torah care how I carve up my steak? Could I just like enjoy my dinner? No. Got to carve it up in a unique way. Don't break any bones. Why does the Torah care if I break bones of an animal? What the animal's dead? What's the problem? You can eat it, but you can't break his bones? So the Rambam says that all of this is that it happens fast. He says, you know what's unique about matzah? It's baked very quickly. How much time do you need to make matzah? Not very much. Maximum 18 minutes. We're going to learn later on today. You should do it even less time. You know, before the times of watches and timers, it's very hard to carry around the Chinese water clock once upon a time on your back, right? Or a sundial. They didn't work so well at night, the sundials. So how would you know what time it is? How would you be able to say something universally where there was no minutes and no stopwatches, no satellite clocks? How would you be able to tell somebody something and they know exactly what you're talking about? So one of the things that's pretty much endemic to the human condition is hunger and satiation. And most of the time, people used to eat bread. Not like today. Today, people eat cake or whatever else it is, things which are not very healthy for you. Once upon a time, people ate bread, which was pretty healthy. And they didn't get very much of it, by the way. That's why they were healthy. They didn't have medications. They died very young. But, people ate well. Some people died of malnutrition. Today, everybody is dying from overeating, from gluttony and excesses that the world has never seen before. Anyway, that's like a my pet peeve. So anybody, anywhere in the world, whether they're a Navajo Aboriginal or a tribe living somewhere in the South China Sea, whether they're living in Nunavut or in the beaches in southern France. It doesn't make a difference where in the world you are. Everywhere in the world, people are eating bread. People eat bread. And everywhere in the world, people know how long it takes for bread to rise. How long does it take for bread to rise? Not very long. As Jewish people, we know it as 18 minutes because we're very into chametz and matzah. But it was once a universal thing. You want to tell somebody something fast. You say, before the bread is going to bake, it'll be done before bread can rise. It was a universal code. Before bread can rise was a universal code. Everybody knew it meant very swiftly, without allowing time to elapse. Because if you leave flour and water, it's going to rise. It's going to begin a fermentation process. Everybody knew that. It's the same anywhere in the world. Same flour, same water, same fermentation. So the matzah is eaten fast. The matzah is made very quickly. By the way, the Torah tells us to eat quickly too. And the what's the fastest way to throw up dinner? Barbecue. We love barbecues in Canada. Because, you know, like last year, summer was on Tuesday. It's when you finally get out of the house. People love to barbecue, and it's very quick. You throw the steak on the barbecue, and boom. Roast beef takes a long time to make. And when you're in a rush, you don't have time to carve things properly. You pick up some meat and you run. So the Rambam describes the Korban Pesach's methodology, the way the Torah describes it. It says the one thing that you walk away with is haste. Fast food nation. We're in a rush. And that reminds us that we left Egypt in a hurry, in haste. So we're doing these things to remember we left Egypt in haste. And what does the name matzah mean, by the way? Torah says, Be'eroch tochu matzot. What does matzah mean? So there's a lot of discussion about this, what exactly matzah means. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Kelim that speaks about leather that is not yet fully refined. It's not kind of worked over. It's called matzah, leather in the rough. So matzah is not like fine food. It's never got a chance to rise, to develop. It's almost like raw. It's not raw, because if it's raw, it'd be rising, but it's quick, unvarnished, unsophisticated, very basic, very simple. That's the nature of matzah. That's what matzah means. The Abarbanel spells it out even more clearly. The Abarbanel says, by the way, this quote from the Rambam or Nevuchim, if anybody out there wants to look it up, is found in Chelik Shlishi in Perek Memvav, the third section, chapter 46. Abarbanel, in his commentary on the Chumash, he says that you must know that this matzah represents the Jewish people's exit from the land of Egypt, as we say in the Gemara, just a couple of lines back from where we're going to begin tonight, that it says, matzah zu eichlan ashum ma, and the answer is, ashum shen nigalu. And when we left, lo yuchlu lehismamea, we couldn't wait. Couldn't wait now, leave now. And momentarily, we left Egypt. A massive nation, millions of people left in a moment. And we just went into the desert. All we had is dough. That was an act of defiance and an act of faith. So the Abarbanel says, with regard to the matzah, lahorot ula zecher hanes, this comes to indicate and to remind us of the miracle that Hashem saved us from makat bechorot, and that we left Hayetzia Megalut Bechipazon Umihirut Rav Venimratz in haste, very quickly. And we didn't have time for anything. And he says this matzah was mitzvah was given to us when we left Mitzrayim. So we shouldn't even, so to speak, realize how quickly everything's going by. Hashem says to the Jewish people, you're not allowed to have chametz. And they were so worried about but we have dough. And they were pounding a dough to make sure it doesn't rise. And pounding a dough. And the next thing they know, they're out of Egypt already. And the bread is baked. It was like, wow. How fast did that happen? And what's the answer? As fast as it would take the dough to rise. It's like a miracle. So that's matzah. And I'm saying this really as an introduction to our Gemara. So matzah, up until the book of Deuteronomy, is food which is made very quickly, bread which is baked right away. And that's the reason for it. So this brings us to tonight's Gemara. Tonight's Gemara, we'll come back to the Minchas Chinuch soon. Tonight's Gemara bases itself on a verse which is found in the book of Deuteronomy. The Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, Deuteronomy 16, verse 3, with regard to the observance of the Passover holiday, Pesach. Lo sochal alav chametz, do not eat this offering called Pesach, the Paschal lamb, with chametz. Don't eat it. Shivat yomim, for 7 days, you're going to have to eat matzot lechem oni. Matzot lechem oni. Lechem oni. We never heard that before. We heard about matzah. We never heard about lechem oni. A matzah by another name? Is this a different matzah? Is it the same matzah? Why is the Torah suddenly referring to matzah by a different name? This, my dear friends, is the question. That is the question. And the Torah says, you know why you're eating lechem oni? Ki b'chi pazon yatzata mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Because you left Egypt in great haste. Elaman tizkor et yom tzeitcha mi'eretz Mitzrayim. So you'll remember the day of your exodus. Koil yimei chayecha, all the days of your life. I'm just a simple man. One second. We heard this message already. It's called matzah. Why do we hear about matzot? Lechem oni. Why is the Torah calling it a different name? So the premise is that if the Torah uses another name for the same sacred wafers, there's got to be a good reason, or two or three. The Torah must be trying to tell us something. But the Torah doesn't say it always directly. In fact, most often the Torah says it in a manner which requires our investigation. So we have to look deeply into it and analyze it. And then we will discover the messages that are kneaded into the dough of the Torah. So there's a message that was kneaded into this. The Torah is like bread, you know? It says, Toratcha b'toch me'ayi. Your Torah is my, I've got to digest it. So we're going to digest the Torah. We're going to digest it with all of its secrets, all the ingredients. But we got to figure out what's in there. So very interestingly, Rashi tells us, ki b'chi pazon yatzata, because you left in great haste, v'lo hispik batzekcha lahachmetz, and your dough was not allowed to rise. Aha, Rashi seems to be saying exactly what the Rambam is saying. That's what Abarbanel said. V'zeh yiyeh l'chol hazikaron, this will remind you. You say, well, matzah, yeah, how fast did that bake? Oh, very fast. Are we eating it tonight? It must be because we left Mitzrayim in great haste. So now it makes us realize how fast we left Mitzrayim. So if you wanted to tell a child how fast you left Mitzrayim, today kids think that bread grows on a shelf. But once upon a time, when even kids used to help out and knead the dough, they knew what this was. You see that matzah on the table? The kid will go, yeah. So that's how fast we left Mitzrayim. He goes, wow, really? That's fast. Like today, a kid would say, as fast as it takes to download a new program. Oh, that's pretty fast. Well, in the time you downloaded a new app, that's when you left it. Yeah, kind of. So this was the spoken language. And even though it's not so easy for people to visualize in the modern era, it's not so difficult to understand how this becomes the paradigm for teaching how fast we left Mitzrayim. And matzah is familiar to all children. And we talk about the matzah, and we point at the matzah, and we discuss it. And children know 18 minutes. They got timepieces today, but they know what 18 minutes are. And they connect the 18 minutes to the matzah. So it still works. Why does the Torah use a different name? This is the question. So none of what I said really says in the Gemara up till now. I'm just giving you a little segue into the Gemara. In fact, the Torah does use a different terminology, and that's what we're going to try to understand now. Meseches Pesachim. We are on Daf Kuf Tes Vov Amud Beis, page 115, side B, towards the very end. We're going to be moving on to page 116. Omar Shmuel, the great sage Shmuel said, Lechem oni ksiv. Here we have this verse in Deuteronomy. Unlike the verse in Exodus in Parshas Bo in Exodus 12, in Deuteronomy 16, we get a different name for matzah. And matzah by any other name is still matzah. Matzah by any other name is still matzah. You better believe it. You know what I just realized? I forgot to record tonight's class, the official recording. All right, I guess we'll have to use the YouTube one. Oh, well. So, Lechem Oni Ksiv. Why does it say Lechem Oni? What was the Torah trying to say to us? And the answer is, according to Shmuel, lechem she'onin alav dvarim. It's bread that's used as an edible prop. It's bread that's spoken over or about. This is a visual aid bread. That's why it's called lechem oni, because oni comes from the term onin. And la'anot in modern Hebrew means to respond or to answer, but in Torah Hebrew, v'anita means to raise your voice, to give ear, as in E-A-R. To give ear to something, to verbalize something, to articulate something, to speak it out. As it says with regard to the Bikurim, it says about the firstling fruit that were brought to the Beit HaMikdash, v'anita v'amarta. You will raise your voice and say, our sages tell us, haramat kol, there needs to be a rising of the decibels. You got to speak up. Speak up, sonny. Have you heard that expression? I was a little boy, I used to go visit the people in the old age home. They would say, speak up, sonny. I don't know what they're talking about. Really. I was like a little child speaking very quickly. Can't hear a word you're saying. Speak up. So sometimes you got to speak up. Speak clearly. Speak slowly. Speak up. You got something to say? Say it. So that's what this means. V'anisa v'amarta. Same thing. Lechem oni means bread of articulation. Who ever heard of bread of articulation? Nobody ever heard of it. You heard it right here. This is the first time you ever hear of such a thing. It's also the last time you ever hear of such a thing. Generally, bread is seen as a food to eat, to consume. Here, the bread is something to talk about. Sha'onin alav. Now, what does this mean? What does it mean to onin, sha'onin alav dvarim? We say things about it. Very interestingly, the Gemara now continues and it says, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, which is a codicil to the Mishnah, from the same genre as Mishnah writing, although not a Mishnah, but it's the same value, same level of importance and veracity. The Mishnah says, the Braisa says, Tanya na mihochi, lechem oni, bread of verbalization. Lechem, it means bread, sha'onin, alav, dvarim, harbe. Bread that you say a lot of things over. You speak about this bread. It's a prop. It's a visual aid, and it's not just for eating. It's there to look a certain way too. You know, sometimes you go to a bar mitzvah or a wedding, you ever see this giant challah? You never saw a giant challah? Ever in some simchas. You ever see a giant wedding cake? You heard of a giant wedding cake. Tell me, the cake tastes better if it's 6 feet tall? No. I once heard from a caterer that those giant cakes, that's not what they serve the people. They wheel out the giant cake. They have a portion of it. Most of it's not even cake. It's covered with icing, a prop. They have a portion of it. They tell the chassan kala, cut over here. They charge him $10,000 for this cake. They say, cut right over here. They put exactly where there's an edible piece. So they fit into the wood. They put the edible cake. And then they cut the cake. They cut the cake and then they wheel it away. So we're going to cut it up for you now. Sure, they cut it up. They got the cakes in the back over there, regular flat cakes. And they cut them in pieces, send them out. I once heard a story. I forgot who told me this. It was a caterer. He said once he was a massive wedding. It was like 1,000 people, a crazy wedding. Not a kosher, unfortunately. He was in, and he said one time, it was a huge hall, and the bride and groom were coming out to cut the cake, but they didn't get the message right. They thought, bring out the cake, and they were serving pieces of the cake that was cut before it was cut. So it was a disaster. There was people very upset. Hey, this is fake. It's a fake cake. They said, it's a fake cake. Oh, look at this. They all were talking about fake cake. In today's day and age, everybody had their phones up and like it. I mean, what's the difference? A fake cake, a real cake. What's it? The cake is cake. No? It tastes better if it comes from 6 feet up? It doesn't. But in people's minds, it's something about a giant mountain of a cake, right? It's a wedding cake. So this is a similar kind of thing. Except that's fake. This is real. And this isn't so fancy. It's like nobody does these flat wafers. Oh, now we're going to talk about this flat wafer. Look at it. Look at it. We're going to crack it and hold it. Turn it this way and that way, pick it up, put it down, uncover it, cover it, Can we please eat? Oh, eat. Well, that's in 2 hours. First, we have to do things with the food. Push it here and take it back. Raise the glass up, cover it. Now uncover it. Say this, point this, touch it, put it away again. Pull it close again. That's to the untrained, the guy who never was at a Seder, that's what it would look like to him. Bunch of crazy people. It's 9 o'clock at night, everybody's starving. There's bread on the table or something that looks like bread, an excuse for bread, and nobody's eating it. They're eating it, they look at it. First they set it up. One, two, three, put things on top of it. Then you push it away, then they take it close. Then they uncover it, then they take it out and crack it, and they put it back inside. And they wrap up some other in a shmata and put it in a pillow. And then they can uncover it again. And they're pointing at it, and they're saying something, and then they're covering it again. Then they push it away, then they take it back. Right? Sounds familiar? That's what happens at a Seder. Why? Because the Torah calls it Lechem Oni. She'onin alav dvarim harbe. You're supposed to say things. What are you supposed to say? So very interestingly, Rashi doesn't say anything here. He doesn't tell us what you're supposed to say here. But Rashi does speak about this in the Gemara and Daf Lamed Vav. In the Gemara and Daf Lamed Vav, where we bring down in a much shorter way this idea of Lechem Oni. They were mentions Lechem Oni in passing. So Rashi says something very interesting. What does it mean, Onin Alav Dvarim? Rashi says, Gomrim Alav Et HaHalel. This is bread we sing about. You hear that? Singing bread. This is the bread, Va'omrim Alav Haggadah. We say or tell a story over the bread. Over the matzah. That's what we do. That's what Rashi says. Now the Me'iri adds a very interesting little nuance here. The Me'iri says, you don't exactly say the whole Hallel over the bread because the second half of Hallel is only recited after Berchat HaMazon. And there's no matzah on the table anymore. The table's all cleaned up. So the Me'iri modifies this. He says, Onin alav dvarim harbe, retzoin aloymar, Haggadah v'hatchalat Hallel. The Haggadah and the beginning of the Hallel, which is the first part of the Hallel, which kind of, that kind of fits. What does Rashi mean when he says, Gomrim alav Hallel? So there's a lot to say about this, but let's keep it simple, that we will see soon that there's a concept of telling the story of Pesach when you're supposed to eat matzah. So you finish the Hallel when you're supposed to eat matzah, which would sound like Rashi's opinion is you should finish even Hallel before midnight, which is the time of eating matzah. Time to eat matzah. So it doesn't mean actually over the bread, but definitely the Me'iri says yes, over the bread means quite literally, and we'll soon talk about that. We'll see what exactly this means. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says. This is the lechem sha'onin alav dvarim harbe. This is the bread that reminds us of it. And we look at it and go, wow, this is great, fantastic. Now we know what this is about. Now I have to tell you something. It's a little secret. I just told you that this doesn't show up till Deuteronomy. Till Parshas Re'eh, which is Devarim chapter 16. I didn't really tell you the whole truth. The truth is that in Exodus 12, it kind of says this already. It kind of says it. Because in Exodus 12, we have a pasuk in which we are commanded to speak to our children. What happens when the children will ask questions? The children might say stuff like, well, what is up with this, hey? What are we doing here? What are you, you believe in this mumbo-jumbo? We didn't even leave Mitzrayim yet, and already we're being told that the kids are going to be asking questions. And you're going to have a hard time with some of your kids. They're going to push back. And the Torah tells us what to say. It says, ba'avur zeh. Ba'avur zeh. It says, ba'yom ahu, on that day, it's ba'avur zeh. So it's actually in it's in Exodus 13. It's the end of Parshas Bo'i. Over there, the Torah says in verse 8, V'higadeta levincha, you'll tell your child b'yom ahu on that day. You'll tell your child. B'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'mitzeis Mitzrayim. For this. What is for this? So the Mechilta, which is the writings of our sages that accompany the book of of Exodus. He says, you know what it means, Bayom Hahu? Yochel mi Bayom Yom. He says, oh, Bayom Hahu, on that day. So that means Bayom Hahu, you can tell the story. Ah, you can have a Seder in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. It says, Bayom Hahu. It doesn't say Balayla Hahu. Ah, but it says Bavur Zeh. For this, what does this mean? Bavur Zeh means b'shar sheyesh matzah u'morah menachim lefanecha al shulchanecha. When there's matzah and morah on the table. And we know that the Torah is very clear about matzah. Ba'erev tochlu matzot. And Torah is very clear about morah, because morah is a condiment that comes along with the korban Pesach, and the korban Pesach can only be eaten ba'layla. So bavur zeh means this. The Torah is saying, when you'll tell the story, it's bavur zeh. So then comes the question. If it already told it to us in the book of Exodus in chapter 13, and there it doesn't have to call it any other name than matzah, why do we have to call matzah another name in order to learn this? That's a good question. So the thing is that ba'avur zeh does not necessarily mean that there actually has to be matzah on the table. Ba'avur zeh means in the time when you're supposed to eat matzah. How do I know this? Because in the 16th century, there was a great sage who authored many, many responsa. People were asking all kinds of questions. His book is known as the Trumas Hadeshen. It's a fascinating book. And in the Trumas Hadeshen, he got a question. Question number 137. So, in our village, we leave the synagogue in the evening. But, you know, we go to shul early. And it's still day. Can we go home and make kiddush early? You know, we are. The night doesn't fall till 9 o'clock at night. So we went to daven at 7:30. And we're home. It's 8:15. Maybe it doesn't get dark till 10 o'clock at night. Can we begin the Seder? Mi ba'od yom? Sounds familiar? All kinds of people asking this question. Can we start the Seder when it's still day? Says the Trumas Hadeshen, nothing doing. How do I know? He says, because the Tosfos says so, and the Mordechai says so, and the Rosh says so. They all wrote it clearly. And Rabbeinu Yehuda or Yankev of Orleans, not New Orleans, the old Orleans. The Ein Mitzvahs Matzah Umoror Ela Balayla Mamash. Matzah and Moror is only a mitzvah at night. V'im Kain says the Trumas Hadeshen. Afal Gav De Kodem Shiyasayim Hagadah V'yagia Lecho Matzah Moror. He said, no problem. So let's have the family over. We'll do the whole Haggadah. We'll make Kiddush. We'll have a Haggadah. We'll do Afikoman. Whatever you want. And by the time we're finished telling the story, perfect timing, night fell. He says, no good. No good. It's not going to work. Because Kos Shel Kiddush is one of the Dalet Kosot. And you can only drink the four cups. At the same time, you can eat the matzah and eat the morah. And that's only at night. And he says, furthermore, the whole reason that we dip the vegetable is to get the child to ask. But the child asking and the telling the story of the Haggadah can only be b'shah sh'ra'ui lechol matzah omar. You can only tell the story of Pesach effectively, meaning to fulfill a mitzvah when it's applicable. The mitzvah is applicable of eating matzah and maror. It doesn't mean there has to be matzah maror on the table, he says. Darshinan v'igadat levincha ba'avur zeh. Ba'avur zeh lo yamarti ala b'shah sh'yesh matzah omar munachin lefanecha. What does that mean? That there's actual matzah mara on the table? You can't tell the story if you have no edible props? If you have no talking points? No visuals? He says, no. Letzeni leimer. B'shas sh'ra'oi lechel matzah mara. At a time when you're able, when you're allowed to fulfill the mitzvah. So the Trumas Hadeshen tells us very clearly that you cannot do the mitzvah of telling the story unless there's matzah mara. It doesn't mean there's matzah mara. It means the time of matzah and maror. So without the verse in Deuteronomy, I still don't know the matzah needs to be on the table. I just know it needs to be at the time of the matzah and the maror. And by the way, the Minchas Chinuch writes this very, very clearly in his commentary on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Minchas Chinuch says, and I'm going to read, he says, "Dezeh pashut, this is self-understood, self-evident. The matzah umaror eino ma'akven ha-sipur." What if I don't have a talking bread? I mean, bread to talk over. I don't have any visuals. I can't tell the story. You don't have matzah. Rachmanu l'tzlan, it's a wartime. Somebody doesn't have matzah. You can't tell the story when there's no matzah, he says. Lo imatzinu zeh de mitzvah zo tiyah tluyah b'matzah maror. Nowhere do we find that the Torah says, don't tell the story unless you have a prop. It would be better if I had a prop. But if I don't have a prop, I can still tell the story. Avda ha-Torah kova zman le'el tezvav. The Torah says the time to tell the story is at night. When is at night? The mitzuvim al matzah, the time you're commanded to eat matzah. So I wouldn't yet know, just from the Torah's verse, the pasuk in Parshas Bo, I wouldn't yet know that you have to have matzah on the table, that it's part of the story. What teaches me that? Lechem oni. And now I know by matzah, by any other name, Shakespeare would say, is still matzah. I mean, why not? If a rose by any other name is still a rose, why wouldn't matzah by any other name still be matzah? It is. So why does it get a different name? Sha'onin olav dvarim harbe. But this is really quite fascinating. Now, I tell you something interesting. It's the Braisa doesn't just say dvarim, it says dvarim harbe. What does that even mean, dvarim harbe? So really, it's not so much a question, because we say in our Haggadah, kol hamarbe l'saper. The more you tell the story on the night of Pesach, harei zeh meshubach, and the literal meaning is, this is praiseworthy, and the teachings of Chassidus has quoted hayom yom, your zeh is your really, that's your pristine core essence, is meshubach, becomes enhanced. Your very latent, deepest potential, not only your superficial reality is enhanced, your subconsciousness is enhanced by harbe. But there's a very interesting Kesav Sefer. The Kesav Sefer, the son of the Kesav Sefer, he says like this. He says, matzah actually is a double story. It's a double story. Because matzah tells us about the pain and slavery, and matzah tells us about the Exodus. Because, you know, the Avud Arham quotes Ibn Ezra, and the way Avud Arham quotes him, it sounds pretty much, he quotes it in the name of Rabbi Ezovi, Reuven Ezovi, he says he heard it from the Ben Ezer, that he was a prisoner in India. And when he was a prisoner, they fed matzah. Why? Because it digests very slowly, and you could get away with giving the prisoners less to eat. And Avu Darham says that this is the matzah, the achola avasona ba'ara de Mitzrayim. This is the matzah that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. So he says like this, the Kesav Sefer says that there are three talking points in a perfect world, in a perfect Seder. What are the three talking points? He says in a perfect world you have Pesach, Matzah, Maror. Pesach speaks about liberation. Maror speaks about the bitterness of slavery. And Matzah goes both ways. It speaks about the past, and speaks about the Exodus in the future. Now, the Kesav Sefer's words are not necessarily, it doesn't have to be exactly like that because there's, if you look in Rashi, in his commentary in Parshas Devarim, Rashi says, Lechem Oni, that Lechem Shemazker et Ha'oni Shenet Anu. It reminds us of the poverty of Mitzrayim. So the Maskil of David asks on Rashi, what do you mean? Matzah is the bread of faith. Matzah is the bread of liberation. Matzah is the bread that didn't bake the next day. How did that remind us of Oni? And he says a very interesting thing. He says, very, very different than what Avu Darham says, and certainly different than what the Kesav Sefer is saying. The Maskil of David says that the concept of having to leave in haste indicates how impoverished we were, how desperate we were. Because there's this narrative of 49 gates of impurity. We had sunk to a very low level. And if we would have been left in Egypt a little longer, we would have been finished. We would have hit rock bottom and not bounced back. So that's the idea of Oni, how low we fell. And it's actually, even though Hashem said that the Jewish people were going to be tormented in a land that is not theirs. The problem was a lot of this was self-inflicted. The slavery and the captivity on a bodily sense, that was inflicted by our enemies. But the spiritual slavery and the assimilation and the lack of self-pride and the lack of awareness of who we were and where we came from, that was self-inflicted. And that was a level of pagan idolatry and terrible deficiency in faith that wasn't imposed. Nobody forced that on us. We did that to ourselves. So that's the poverty here, he says, that it speaks of. It's all about, according to the Maskil of David, it's all about going out of Mitzrayim. They go hand in hand. These two messages go hand in hand. But anyway, this is the discussion. This is the discussion of speaking about lots of things, and the real lesson of the bread being the vehicle through which we tell the story is found in Deuteronomy 16 with the words, Lechem Oni. So Michal David is asking a question: if you paint a picture with it, does it become Lechem Oni? You can't paint pictures on Yom Tov, mister. So I don't know what you're talking about. And secondly, a picture is a picture. It's a virtual. This is real. And later we sink our teeth into it. So when you do all that talking and using it, this is the matzah. And then we eat the matzah, we basically internalize this message. That's one reason why a matzah by any other name is still matzah. Now the Gemara says, you know what? There's another reason. Dovar Acher, another lesson, another powerful and important lesson that's being learned to us from the bread that is called Lechem Oni. He says, Lechem Oni. Oni is the way it's verbalized. Ayin Vav Nun Yud Oni. Ayin Vav is verbalization. Speak up, Sonny. Oni, raising your voice. However, if you look in the Torah, you'll see it's spelled without an Avav. It's spelled Oni, Oni, Oni. Ayin Nun Yud. Ayin Nun Yud stands for an Ani. An Ani is a poor person, a desperate person. I see Kevin is asking a question. He wants to know, like there was a spiritual Mitzrayim meaning limitation. Most definitely, Kevin. Yes, and the problem is that limitation or that obscuring of spiritual potential was self-inflicted, very sadly. And unfortunately, not that much has changed. But this time there's going to be a different ending. Mashiach's going to come.
Interesting, or is there something?
There is a connection, but it's not on subject. not for matzah.
Another day.
A different day, as you'll see. So why does the Torah spell it Oni? Why Oni? The Gemara answers, Oni shedarkei beprusa. The way of an Oni is with a piece, a broken piece. The Oni gets what we call in Yiddish ashtikele breit. Gets a piece of bread. It doesn't come with a whole big bread. It's like Nebuchadnezzar, a person's coming in, he's picking up scraps of bread. All the fancy clients left the restaurant, and this poor man is starving. He's picking up scraps. The Ani's way is scraps. That's what the Ani picks. Now, what does this mean, that he picks scraps? I mean, everybody's bread is going to be scraps. You get a whole bagel, and you rip it, so you got a scrap too. What's the difference? What's the difference? The difference if you cut the bread or you got sliced bread. What's the difference? So the Machzer Vitri, which is a student of Rashi, Rabbi Simcha Vitri, says something very interesting. He says, the Oni is botzeya min haprusa. He breaks off a scrap. Everybody breaks off a whole roll, a whole bread. The Oni is, to begin with, breaking a scrap off a scrap. He's breaking a piece off a piece. If you're going to give out bagels, you're going to give out half bagels, quarter bagels. You give out bagels. You give out Kaiser rolls. You give out rolls. So no, you don't get a roll. Everybody gets a tenth of a roll. What are you, joking with me or something? You know, before sliced bread was a thing, people didn't want a slice. They wanted a bread. They came on with a bread. And then you cut the bread. I cut the bread. Somebody would say, you want to buy bread? Oh, here's a piece. What are you, joking with me? I got a family to feed. Well, figure it out. So the Ani's way is he breaks off a piece. He starts with a piece. Understand? So this is the idea. This is the idea that the Ani, it's the methodology through which the Ani breaks the matzah. And that is to say, so what are we saying over here? Af kan beprusa. So to hear, when you eat the matzah, what should you break? When you finally break bread, what should you break? You should break a piece of matzah. Why would you break a piece of matzah? You have a whole matzah. Ah, you had a whole matzah when you started. But do you remember that in the beginning, just when the Seder was getting off the ground, you broke a matzah. And then you put the broken piece back with the other two whole pieces. Right in the middle was a broken piece. And what are you going to break off? A piece off a piece, that's what a poor person looks like. So matzah is bread of poverty or bread of affliction. And however you want to explain that, whether you use the Vudarham's methodology like the Ksav Sefer says, or you use the Maskil of David's method of explaining Lechem Oini, that the idea of the Oini Shenis Anu, it reminds us of a spiritual poverty, that the broken bread is a metaphor for having been impoverished spiritually. Afkam beprusa. So Rashi says something here very interesting. He says like this, he says, Levorech al achilas matzah. We're talking about the bracha of matzah, al achilas matzah. When you make the bracha of achilas matzah, which matzah are you making a bracha over? The broken piece. But he says, v'shtei shleimot, there's two whole matzahs. Maisi, you bring two other whole matzahs. Mishum berchat hamotzi. You have to make a bracha of hamotzi. Because you have to make a bracha of hamotzi. So the bracha of hamotzi, the ligar mishar yom tov, it's not different than any other yom tov. Every yom tov, you have two breads. You have to have two breads now too. Okay, they're matzah breads, but they're still breads. Shetzarech levatzea al shtei krichot shleimot. You have to make a bracha on two whole ones. And then, botzea me'achat ha-shleimot. In other words, Rashi indicates you make hamotzi on one matzah and achilat matzah on the other matzah. And that's taught to us with the term lechem oni, which is spelled oni. So Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, spells it out a little more clearly. He says, Afkan beprusa, levorech al achilas matzah, v'shtei shleimot maitinon mishum hamotzi, ligar mishar yom tovim, shetzarech levorech, he doesn't say tzarech levorech, he said tzarech livtzoa al shtei kichrois. You have to break two breads. Ubotzeach me'achas ha-shleimus. There's not only two breads to make a bracha over, because if you can't make a bracha over something and I eat it, you can't put bread on the table. Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Yeah, how you doing? Oh, I'm just making brachas on bread now. That's ridiculous. You can't answer the phone. You made a bracha on bread, you got to eat the bread. So what do? As soon as you made the bracha on the bread, you eat the bread. Actually, on Shabbat, we don't cut it before, we just score it. But during the weekdays, when you make a bracha on a whole bread, you're supposed to start cutting as you're making the bracha. You can't make a bracha on food and not eat it. You made a bracha on this bread, you got to break this bread. And therefore, Rashbam is adding to Rashi, you got to break two breads. Yeah. You can't score the challah because you need to make a bracha on two whole challahs. That's part of the mitzvah of lechem mishnah. That's correct. Yes, but that's why Rashi and Rashbam told us you have three matzahs. You have three matzahs, so you're holding two matzahs with a little broken piece inside it, and you're making a bracha on motzi. And then, according to most opinions, you drop the bottom matzah, and you pick up the top matzah and the broken matzah, and you make a bracha al achilat matzah on which matzah? On the broken matzah, because that's the way of the poor person, a scrap. And how do we know that? Because it says lechem oni, but it spells it oni.
So hamotzi is on the two whole matzahs.
That's what Rashi and Rashbam say. There's many opinions about this. And actually, I'm going to talk about it in Shabbat HaGadol Drasha. I'm going to go through the whole popular mechanics of breaking and eating matzah. That's going to be a whole fascinating thing, a story unto itself, how exactly this works and what the different opinions are, and how that affects the way we actually eat our matzah. Yeah. Understand? So now we know why matzah by any other name is still matzah and why it has another name. Not only it's verbalized another way, it's spelled another way to teach us that when we make a bracha on matzah, we have to make a bracha off a scrap of matzah, not off a whole fancy matzah. And that's pretty good. We got already two lessons that were needed into the matzah before the matzah got baked. But there's a third lesson. There's a third lesson. Davar acher. Another reason. And of course, all of this is true and all of this is holy. And these are all the reasons. Davar acher. Another reason. Says the Gemara. Ma darko shel ani. How does the ani not, how does the poor person not eat or break the matzah? How does the poor person bake the matzah? How does the poor person bake the matzah? Well, the poor person doesn't have abundance of just about anything. He's dealing with a very limited supply, a limited supply of flour, and he's got a limited supply of firewood. So you got to strike the iron when it's hot, or you're not going to have bread altogether. Says the Gemara, Ma darke shaloni, hu masik? He heats up the oven. The ishto ofen, his wife is baking. They're working in tandem, husband and wife together. Regular guy stokes the fire, fires up the oven, goes to knead the bread, comes back to the oven, putters around with the poker a little, goes back to his bread. The poor person doesn't have time like that. He and his wife are like, okay, I'm starting the fire. Make sure the bread's ready. He's working on the fire while she's kneading the dough, and boom, they put that bread and that dough in as fast as they could, because guess what? That fire is not going to last very long. And he doesn't have any other firewood. So Afkan, when it comes to baking matzah, hu masik v'ishto ofa, he heats up, she kneads, gets the bread ready. Rashi says, k'dei shelo tamten. It shouldn't, shelo tachmitz. So it shouldn't become chometz. The Torah is teaching us how to make matzah. How do you make matzah? The answer is very, very quickly. Rashbam adds a little bit elaborates a little more. He says, "V'nosno miyad letanur." He puts it right into the oven. L'shenigmar haseko. As soon as he gets the fire going, he puts it right into the oven. Why? Sheyora shema yitzdanin hatanur kedim sheyizdamin. He doesn't have time to take chances here. He says, "By the time I'm going to be tarrying till I get the dough in, my fire is going to be gone already. The oven's finished." So he's asukim shneim. They're both busy. Zebehesek, he with the fire. Hatanur v'zebe isa, and this with the dough. Now the Tosfos Rid says a gewaldige thing. What's the real lesson here? The Tosfos Rid says like this. We didn't know matzah has to be made quickly. Rashi says, make it fast, it shouldn't rise. We didn't know without lechem oni, it's matzah. That's b'chipazon. So the Tosfos Rid says, no, you don't understand. Matzah could be baked in up to 18 minutes. How long does the average matzah get baked in? It could be up to 18 minutes. How long does the average matzah go from the first drop of water hitting the dough till it comes out of the oven? How long is it? Take a guess. 10 minutes. It's usually less than 6 minutes. 5 to 6 minutes is the average. In a matzah bakery, where they roll it by hand, the average is 5 to 6 minutes. You go to a matzah bakery, you get crazy. Everybody's screaming. The one thing you notice is haste. There's a tension in the air. And there's a guy, he's in a booth, and there's a big, he's got flour. And I got another booth, that's got water. And then all of a sudden the hand comes in, and the clock goes, and he pours the water in, and the guy kneads like a crazy man. He kneads and kneads and kneads and kneads. Within 2.5 minutes it's kneaded. And then they cut it very, very fast. They go down these long tables, and the people are rolling and rolling, and everybody's screaming, L'shem Matzah Smitzvah, L'shem Matzah, everybody keep rolling. And they're rolling and rolling, and another guy's waiting, they put him on a thing, and he's running to the oven, 6 minutes. Where do we know that from? Because the Gemara says, Tosfos Rid says, that's the point of the Gemara. We don't have a normal bakery, they're not running to the oven. You'll get to the oven when you get to the oven. There's no time here. This is the way a Jew is supposed to bake matzah. Now it's very interesting. According to the Rebbe Tzvi Gias, and this is also, the Rosh quotes this in the name of Rabbi Haigoin, there's also a thing of baking matzah by yourself. That ideally, a Jew should endeavor to be involved in the baking of matzah. There's many pious people who have matzah bakeries in their city. Not like us in Toronto, we don't have a matzah bakery here, but many pious people have matzah bakeries. Montreal has a matzah bakery. New York has upteen matzah bakeries. In Israel, lots of matzah bakeries. And what happens is that people rent out the matzah bakery for a day. They use the regular staff, and they fill in to make it even faster, and people are involved with taking care of making their own matzahs. So that's what we learn from this, the story with the guy and his wife, where everything is chick-chack, we're moving it along. And these three powerful lessons are learned from the fact that matzah, by any other name, is still a matzah. So in the end, we started off with fast food. We were the fast food nation, the nation that was made with very fast food. And we finish off as the fast food nation. You gotta make this happen even faster than fast. Forget 18 minutes. Even faster than that. Lickety split. And that's why I called it fast food nation, because matzah is our national bread. It says we were baked in the kiln with the matzah, so to speak. And the matzah represents who we are and represents our faith. And when a Yid eats matzah on the night of Pesach, it nourishes his or her faith. And it transforms you not only on this one night, but a whole year long. You may get indigestion for a day or two, but you will reap the benefits, the spiritual benefits and dividends. Kol Hashana Kula, Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us, that as we were privileged to learn together about matzah by other names, that the lessons of Lechem Oni should be absorbed and digested by a soul in the best way possible. And we should be zeichel, we should merit a Meretz Hashem this year to eat the matzah together with the Korban Pesach and the Mora in Yerushalayim, Eir HaKodesh, and the third Beis HaMikdash, B'mheiro, B'yameinu, Amen. Thank you all for joining us out there. Thank you for being here, everybody. A reminder, if you aren't yet, please subscribe, youtube.com/Rabbi Mendel Kaplan and rabbikaplan.tv. All the classes are there for your viewing enjoyment and your spiritual edification and education. Take care. Shekoyach and Laila Tov.